Can the Packers get one more stop on fourth and goal to go?
Next on Packers Today, what a way to enter the bye.
Snap to Rivers. He looks. He hits. Throws the right side. Knocked away by Demaryius Randle.
A team known and measured by its potent attack on offense has played a different brand of football through the season's first six games. But in the end, a win is a win.
We don't need to win pretty every week. We'd like to, and we're going to get graded to that standard. You know, they all count the same, and we'll take all of them.
Coming up, Larry and I relive the biggest moments from the Packers' 6-0 start and get you ready for the stretch run. Packers Today, presented by Verizon, starts right now. Welcome and thank you for joining us on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Lauren Majera, joined by Larry McCarron. Aaron Rodgers said the wins haven't all been pretty, but they all count the same. 6-0 is a good place to be.
It sure is, and I would agree with Aaron. A couple of the wins have had their warts, but the Packers have shown the unique ability to make plays when they have to. You can go back to the opener in Chicago, Clay Matthews intercepting that pass. And then all the way to late in the Charger game, that goal line stand. That's how teams get to be 6-0.
Well, something that's really impressed me is seeing the Packers experience growth during times of stress. 6-0 doesn't exactly sound stressful, but they've been faced with adversity and they've really endured it together. I love the character they're building.
Something that's impressed me, Lauren, is they have found different ways to win. Sometimes they lean on the offense. Sometimes it's the defense, and there's no question the Packers' special teams are improved.
Well, the Packers are 6-0 for the first time since 2011, and like you said, Larry, they're winning games in a number of different ways. Here's a snapshot of how the Packers arrived at 6-0.
The 2015 season is on its way. Good to have you with us for Green Bay Packers football.
As an NFL player, your whole world revolves around 16 Sundays, and they begin right now.
Snap to Rodgers. Throws the left side of the end zone. James Jones leaping. Sensational catch. Snap to Cutler. Pops the seam. And it's intercepted. Clay Matthews with the biggest play of the game. The rematch of the NFC Championship game. Snap to Wilson, strings it out right side. Intercepted by J-Ron Elliott. Fred Jackson to the 40 to the 35. Fumble the football. Recovered by the Packers. And there is your dagger.
What a great way to end it.
Welcome to Lambeau Field for Monday Night Football. Snap to A-Rod. Quick throw. Right side got Cobb. Touchdown. Left side, and he's got Cobb. Slips to defender. Reaching end zone. Touchdown. Rough throw. Right side. He's got his man. Another touchdown pass for Aaron Rodgers. Another touchdown for Randall Cobb.
Start fast. Finish on. 1, 2, 3. Back.
Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield. Lots of time. Scrambles left. Steps up. Still looking. Veers to his left. Throws the end zone.
Yes.
Touchdown.
Aaron Rodgers actually executing a full 360, buying time. Amazing play.
Facing third down and 8. Snap to Foles. Under pressure. Hit as he throws to the side. Intercepted and down the right sideline to the end zone. Quentin Rollins, the rookie, for a touchdown. Packers and Chargers tie ball game at 17 apiece. Second and 5 at the 8-yard line of the Chargers. Snap to Rodgers. Throws right side of the end zone.
Yes. Touchdown, James Jones.
And the Packers have the lead.
Man, we needed that.
24 seconds ago in the game. Packers are leading by 7. Give to Whitehead. He's hit. Can take it down. And it's all come down to this. Can the Packers get one more stop? Snap to Rivers. He looks. He hits. Throws the right side.
Yes.
Away. And there. The Packers will stay unbeaten at 6-0. The home field winning streak moves to 13-0.
Looking back on the first 6 weeks of this season, the Packers' defense has really headlined a lot of what's been good, not only with the way that they've claimed Matthews, but also the secondary.
Yeah, I think the defense has really taken on an aggressive personality. It's aggressive, and it challenges people both physically and mentally. When you get situations where Clay Matthews walks right up over the center and nobody blocks him, you're confusing the opponents, and that's a good thing.
I think the most encouraging part about watching this team is knowing that they can only get better. They haven't even come close to their best because this is how they play without their key guys. This offense has really been able to endure through some adversity.
Of course, that headline act in the adversity, Jordy Nelson, but also Devontae Adams has missed some time. Randall Cobb has been playing hurt all year. Up front, Brian Bulaga. And you go to the defensive side of the ball, Morgan Burnett has basically missed the entire season to date, and still the Packers prevail.
And taking a look at some of these young guys who are emerging, I like Ty Montgomery. He's fast, physical, scored 2 touchdowns this season, but I like the fact that he displays potential to grow into this offense. He represents the future. Things are good, but could always be better. Let's hope the bye week is good to his ankle.
I agree with you on Montgomery. Another young fellow, another rookie that has impressed me is Demaryius Randall. Go back to the Niners game. He gets beat deep one play. Just a couple plays later, he makes a spectacular play in the end zone. Then you go to the Rams game. He chases down Todd Gurley, saves a touchdown. And then against the Chargers, he made the final play in that goal line stand.
You know, he's sort of a quiet guy, but definitely not on the field.
Speaking of quiet, do you realize it's been weeks since we talked about the Packers' offensive line and running game, and that's going to change right now.
This play is designed to go to the left, but it ends up going right and breaking big thanks to TJ Lang and Brian Bulaga. They don't just block, they dominate on the backside. Combine that with a spinning cutback for the ages, and you've got James Starks going for 65 yards and a touchdown. The Packers also threw a couple of changeups at the Chargers. The short trap, with Lang serving as the trapper and Corey Legit the trapee. Advantage Lang, Starks for 5. Another changeup, the wham play, which is like a trap but involves a non-lineman, Richard Rodgers in this case. Legit's day just got longer, while Starks goes for 5 more. Whams, traps, or zone, the Packers are getting folks blocked in a variety of ways.
Still to come on Packers Today.
Pressure on the count, he's hit, ball is free.
What another big play for this Broncos defense.
A look at what lies ahead for the Packers following the bye. And later, Mike McCarthy returns home to celebrate his crowning achievement as a coach with those who helped shape him into the man he is today. Packers Today, we'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Coach McCarthy and his staff are enjoying some well-deserved time away from the game this weekend, but they'll be back at it bright and early Monday, preparing for the stretch run. Here's a look at the next 6 games in this week's scouting report, presented by the Better Business Bureau.
Snap to Peyton, looks right, throws right, pass will be intercepted.
Regrets his decision instantly, both hands to the head, shaking it, unbuckling his chin strap as he walks to the sideline.
Here's something I didn't expect to say when scouting the Broncos. Through 6 games, quarterback Peyton Manning leads the league with 10 interceptions. What's more, prior to this fourth quarter touchdown pass to Emmanuel Sanders last week, the Broncos had gone 25 straight possessions without an offensive touchdown. So how has Denver remained unbeaten? Because of plays like this.
Pass intercepted. This is a keep to leave at midfield. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Denver!
Make no mistake about it, the Broncos have a championship-caliber defense. They lead the league in sacks with 26, are second in the league with 9 interceptions, not to mention they scored 4 defensive touchdowns this season. After the Sunday night matchup in Denver, the Packers travel to Carolina to take on the Panthers. At 5-0, many have questioned whether or not the Panthers are for real. Last week, Cam Newton quieted critics in the 12th man during back-to-back 80-yard touchdown drives in the fourth quarter.
Goes to the end zone, caught, touchdown! Yes!
That capped off the comeback and gave the Panthers their third road win of the season. Following consecutive road games, the Packers returned to Lambeau to begin a four-game run against teams within the division. That stretch begins and ends with the 1-5 Lions. Slowed by injuries on both sides of the ball, the Lions have underperformed this season. 2 weeks ago, quarterback Matthew Stafford was replaced during a blowout loss to the Cardinals, but he seemed to regain some confidence in the Lions' overtime win against the Bears last week. Week 11 has the Packers traveling to Minnesota for a showdown with Adrian Peterson and the Vikings.
Adrian to the 30, heads to the left of the 20, shakes the tackle, and is a loose! 43-yard touchdown by the best back in the game!
Back from his league suspension, the 9-year vet has accumulated 432 yards rushing in 5 games this season. That's 6th best in the NFL. The game circled on many calendars, the Thanksgiving matchup against Chicago. The Packers beat the retooling Bears to open the season, but will likely face a more balanced attack in Week 12. Competition aside, it's also the night the Packers will retire Brett Favre's number 4. A ceremony at halftime will unveil Brett's name and number on the facade in the north end zone. A lot of exciting matchups throughout the remainder of the season and into December, but it's one game at a time. And first up, Denver Broncos and the reincarnation of the Orange Crush defense.
Lauren, I got to be honest with you. I haven't ground any tape on the Broncos just yet, so I don't have any particulars. But I do know they're 6-0 for a reason. Should be a tough customer.
And the Packers return home in Week 10 to begin a 4-game stretch against the division. Pretty much more bark than bite in this division so far, but there's still a lot of football left to be played. How much can a team really change at this point in the season?
Well, everybody's planning on changing for the better. Doesn't always happen, but from where I sit, Minnesota would be a tough customer, the Bears will be better, and the Detroit Lions are not good.
So one of the headlines, the primetime game on Thanksgiving against the Bears when the Packers retire Brett Favre's number 4. Over the summer, Brett returned to Lambeau, and during a dual ceremony, the Packers retired his jersey and inducted him into the Packers Hall of Fame. One of the highlights of that evening, the welcome he received in front of the 67,000 fans in attendance.
I have to admit, I'm a little bit embarrassed that all this is for me. I really am. I love to play football. I loved it. I dreamed of playing football. I dreamed of playing in the Super Bowl. I never dreamed of standing here before you in a moment like this. So this is way beyond what I dreamed of, and I am so honored.
Brett Favre, a guy who just loved the game of football, truly one of a kind.
He sure was, and it was a one-of-a-kind evening at Lambeau Field. I think it was great for Brett. It was great for his family. It was great for the Packer fans, and it was great for the organization. Everything Packer was as it should be.
And, of course, the fans still get one more opportunity to celebrate Brett Favre in Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving. Still to come, Super Bowl 45 winning head coach Mike McCarthy returns to his roots to show his appreciation and admiration for those who touched his life at a young age. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Mike McCarthy would be the first to say he's the product of the people and the place he comes from. This past week, we went along as Coach returned to those people and that place.
This is St. Rosalia's Academy in the Greenfield neighborhood of Pittsburgh. It's where Coach Mike McCarthy went to grade school. He has not forgotten, and neither have they. Coach McCarthy returning to St. Rosalia on Tuesday to present the school with a Wilson Golden football. It's part of the NFL's Super Bowl Honor Roll campaign, which recognizes schools and communities that have contributed to Super Bowl history.
To have the opportunity to bring recognition for the school, that's what it's all about. It's about the kids. It's always been about the kids. That's where we were raised. So, I mean, these kids are our future. So I feel a big obligation to help out as best I can.
St. Rosalia and Greenfield do hold special places in Coach McCarthy's heart, and his help has been considerable, and that's why his visit coincided with Mike McCarthy Day in the city of Pittsburgh.
When you have somebody that achieves at such a high level, and he's a local guy that always gives back, if there's ever an event, the first call that this neighborhood makes is to Mike. And I think that shows his true character. And that's why we as a city wanted to honor him.
But Coach McCarthy was there to honor St. Rosalia. He talked to the kids.
There's a lot of NFL officials that are also in the National Football League from Pittsburgh, the great city of Pittsburgh. Now, we're ranked 30th in the league right now in penalties, so it's not helping the Green Bay Packers. But just, you know, my jokes aren't hitting, huh?
But there was also a serious side to Coach's talk. He spoke of being proud of your roots, chasing your dreams, and giving back.
It's great that we have someone that graduated from this school that went to do great things like that. So it's really inspiring for me. So I can do great stuff if I want to.
St. Rosalia and the McCarthy family go back a long way, four generations worth. And the connection continues today with Mike's nieces, Reese and Shay, the Peacemaker.
Since we're from Pittsburgh and a lot of people are Steelers fans, and everyone just, since they think of the Packers as a rival to us, Steelers, but I think that now they think it's okay just to, you can be a fan of both teams.
David Zubik, the Bishop of Pittsburgh, knows the feeling. He used to be the Bishop of Green Bay. And while that's a tough balancing act, there's nothing tough about admiring Packers coach Mike McCarthy.
His lessons to the students here, and I think his humility about what his parents did for him, make him a great man. And I think for him to really support the opportunity for the kind of education that the students receive here at St. Rosalia's shows that he hasn't forgotten the gifts that he received here, and it's obvious because he's living them.
And Lauren, the bishop is very popular at St. Rosalia. During the ceremony, he declared an extra day off for the entire school.
You know, where's our extra day off?
Hey, we're 24/7. Get real.
That is right. Well, coming up next, Alumni Spotlight featuring former Packer player and coach Bill Curry. We'll be right back.
He was just so fascinating and terrifying to me, to be in his presence. Because I was late for training camp, the next day, early on that Sunday morning, there was a knock at my door, and it was Vince Lombardi. Can you imagine? And he said, we're going to go through some plays. Vince Lombardi sat there with a yellow legal pad, and he drew up the entire offense in his hand. To this day, I can draw each of those plays. I can't draw the plays that I coached all through my years. I can't even remember our systems, but I remember his. And that's the mark of a great teacher.
Alumni Spotlight built by Tundra Land. Now, Larry, Bill Curry, not only a great player for the Packers, but also an impressive coach.
He sure was for me. When he first came, or I had him for several seasons, when he first came, I was lousy. And he worked real hard with me, had some faith in me, and after a few years, I was a lot less lousy, thanks to Bill Curry.
I like that. Now, wrapping up here, Coach McCarthy talked about using the bye week as an opportunity to find ways to keep things fresh. Now, you played in the NFL. Now, do you think that if you would have had a week off, that would have made that big of a difference in helping with those aches and pains?
I sure do. I think it's a great idea, and I wish they had it when I played. I never experienced it, so I'm just kind of speculating. But you think about it, after the training camp, preseason, and six games, and you get a week off, it would seem like 10 weeks. Great idea.
Well, thank you so much for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. We'll see you next week.
He shovels it to Lacey. One-handed grab. Scrambles left. Throws end zone. Touchdown! Throws the right side. Intercepted.